letter from Paul that are his last words to his closest companion, his closest friend. So if you guys take a second and kind of put yourself in that position, your words might change a little bit. Where Paul is normally really heavy into theology, and not that he doesn't get into theology, but he gets really directly to the point, to the important stuff. He gets right to Timothy, into Timothy's heart. And so in chapter 1, he talks about guarding the good deposit, which is the gospel. And then we get to chapter 2, where he talks about really being a strong follower of Jesus. And that's ultimately what we're talking about today, is what does a strong follower of Jesus look like? So we're going to just take Paul's word as it is. So if you'll turn, look with me in verse 1, and I'll kind of read and pause when I want to. So chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened. Hit the pause button. Strengthened. Like any other father, I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there, you kind of want your child to be strong, right? You want him to be strong. And that's what Paul is exhorting and asking Timothy to do. He says, be strong. But he doesn't use the word strong. He uses the word strengthened. And I think the word strengthened is very, very important. Strengthened is kind of passive, right? It's kind of passive. If I'm going to be strengthened, I have to rely on something else. So if I go into the gym and work out, which I should probably do more of, I'll be honest. But when you go to the gym and you work out and you want to strengthen yourself, you don't stand there and look in the mirror and go, be strong. You don't get really stronger. You have to rely on a couple of things. You have to rely on the activities, the workouts. You have to rely on maybe the weights, because if I do some of those activities with just air, not going to make much of a difference. So strengthened is passive. Something else has to come alongside of it. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He's telling Timothy, hey, be strong, but it's not your own strength. Be strong, but it's not you who is creating this strength. You have to rely on something else outside of yourself to make you strong. And luckily for us, Paul doesn't leave it up to question. He tells us right after what we are to be strengthened by. He says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Which gets me to the first point of a strong follower of Jesus, is a strong follower of Jesus is strengthened by Jesus. Strengthened by Jesus. Okay? So, before we keep going, I want to make sure we understand what the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And some of you might be in church for a while, and you're like, okay, Taylor, you don't really need to explain this to me. Well, if this is what our strength comes by, reminding us doesn't hurt. So the grace that is in Christ Jesus is ultimately the unmerited favor of God. But not only is it just random favor, it's favor from God to the people that deserve the exact opposite. We deserve the opposite of favor. We deserve God's wrath, yet we get favor. We have grace. We have mercy in Jesus. The gospel is ultimately the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and that is what strengthens us. It's a source of power. When we look to Jesus and look what he did on the cross and understand that he paid it all for my past, present, and future sins, we are to be empowered and strengthened by that. We're supposed to live in confidence. As a basketball coach, and I grew up playing a lot of basketball, there's kind of two kind of camps, I think, that I could divide some of the coaches in. You had your coach over here who was really didn't have much of a leash. Like, he kind of had your collar. As soon as you made a mistake, you come sit down. As soon as I miss a shot, you can't miss a shot, so sub you out. You know, someone else might make it. So there's that coach. And then you've got the coach over here who's a little bit more lenient, who says, hey, go make the next play. If you're open, shoot it. If you miss it, it's okay. Just make the next one. And he says, the next play, if you make a bad pass, it's okay. We don't like it, but you've got another chance. And from experience, I played a whole lot better for this guy over here because I had confidence. I had confidence. And what we have in Jesus is confidence because he has paid it all. Maybe I'm running towards God and I stumble. It's okay. Jesus has paid for it. Jesus has paid for it on the cross. I don't need to look back, and I don't need to worry whether or not his grace is there or not. We heard earlier this morning about how God doesn't change, and he has declared that he has grace through Jesus. So we don't have to worry. We can be confident and keep running. Okay? We are to be empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And everything else flows, everything else that we talk about flows out of this. If we take away Jesus as our strength, we're ultimately a kite without a string. Sure, we might do good here and there, fly a little bit. But in a couple minutes, we all know that that kite is going to end up with a pile of rocks, right? Doesn't have anything to keep it grounded. Jesus is where our strength comes. And I love what A.W. Pink says in his commentary on the life of David. He says, "The eminent saint is not the one who has learned to walk alone, but he who feels his need of leaning harder upon the everlasting arms." So I'll give a paraphrase. The strong follower of Jesus isn't the one who walks alone, but the one who leans on the grace of Jesus harder and harder. So the strong follower of Jesus is first and foremost, above all, strengthened by Jesus. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy to start with. And then he moves on and he talks about how the strong follower of Jesus needs to be committed to the scriptures. If we look in verse 2, he says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul tells Timothy, hey, everything that I've poured into you, because I've poured in so much of it, take it to other people. Give it to other people. Don't just keep it to yourself, but take it to other people. And you might be thinking, well, that sounds a lot like a teacher, not someone who's committed to the scriptures, but a teacher of the scriptures. And I would be here to challenge you and say, if we are to teach something, we ourselves have to be committed to it. If I'm going to go teach the Word of God, then I should probably be spending my time in the Word of God. I should probably be studying it diligently. We are called to do the same exact thing, to not only teach the scriptures, but to study it ourselves and know them ourselves and let it challenge our hearts. And it is to take it out. So I don't want us to walk away thinking we need to hoard it. It breaks my heart to see churches and individuals hoard the scriptures, to hoard the grace of Jesus and lock it up in our churches and say, you don't belong in here, to lock it up in our homes and just study it and spend time with it and never talk to anybody else about it. We're called to take it out. We're not hoarding this gospel. You know, when Paul talks to Timothy about guarding it is taking it out. Guarding it is not locking it up somewhere in our church. It's taking the Word of God out. But all that to say, we are to be committed to the scriptures. Not only are we strengthened by Jesus, but we're committed to the scriptures. And then Paul kind of switches it. So he gives us two ideas of what the strong follower of Jesus is and does. But now we get three pictures. Paul gives us three pictures, three illustrations for us to really understand what a strong follower of Jesus is. The first one is a soldier. So the strong follower of Jesus is like a soldier. If you look with me in verse 3, he says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Notice he said suffering. He didn't say wealth, success, you know, comfort. He said suffering. And Paul's writing from prison, so he knows what suffering is. "Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And then in verse 4, he says, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." When I started thinking about what a soldier is, I think there's a lot of categories you could throw a soldier in. They're disciplined. Their work ethic is second to none, really. But above all, I think Paul is getting at the focus of a soldier. A soldier is deadlock focused on his mission. He's deadlock focused on his mission. He doesn't have anything else on his mind but his mission. And that's where his discipline comes. He's disciplined for his mission, because he's focused on that. G.K. Chesterton also said, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. And we get that too because the soldiers focus on his mission. Why? Because he wants to please the one who enlisted him. The one who gave him his mission, he's focused on pleasing him. We're not focused about, you know, the people that lie in front of us or our enemies in front of us. We're focused on the one behind us who loves us, who has given us our mission. And these soldiers are so focused that they don't get swayed and turned off to the side by the civilian pursuits that Paul says. So as a Christian soldier, we can say there's a lot of civilian pursuits we can get caught up in and take our focus off of our mission. And ultimately, our focus and our mission is pursuing Jesus. So our focus is on Jesus. And as we pursue Jesus, there's a lot of things that get in the way, whether that's material objects or things or money. Or it's on this side, which is reputation and really worrying about other people and putting other people's thoughts and opinions as our focus. And I'll speak for myself. Oftentimes, my own desires take precedent and take focus. I can speak from even this morning where I had to have a conversation about how my desires ultimately took the place of Jesus, of my focus, and I needed to go repent. We let that happen. We let the civilian pursuit sway us off of our focus and off of our line. And all of a sudden, we're not pursuing Jesus anymore. So Paul is exhorting Timothy, be like a soldier. Be focused on Jesus. Don't let anything else get in the way. Don't let your own desires trick you to step off the path. But stay focused on Jesus. Keep running to him. He's your strength, Timothy. Focus on him. So like a soldier, the strong follower of Jesus is focused. He's focused on Jesus. So the first picture was a soldier. And now the second picture is an athlete. Is an athlete. And as an athlete, I like, you know, when Paul uses these illustrations. He says in verse 5, he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And boy, there were some rigorous rules for these athletes. Like you had to, before you could go compete, you had to stand before everybody and promise that you had trained 10 months. 10 months you had trained before they would even let you think about competing. Like you had to really follow these rules or they're not giving it to you. But this is an athlete who's already competing. He's already in the thick of things. He's already competing for this crown. And he's got to follow someone else's rules or else he doesn't get it. And I think Paul's getting at the fact that the athlete has to be submissive. The athlete has to be submissive. He has to submit to someone else's way. As an eighth grade basketball coach, I didn't get together with the coach and the referees and decide, hey, let's not call out of bounds today. Some days I wish we could have done that. But we didn't. We didn't get together and say, hey, when we get fouled, let's just check it up at you know the top of the key and call it good. Let's not keep track of fouls. No, we had to submit to the rules that the state of Indiana has laid in front of us. We had to submit to those. We couldn't sway. We couldn't change it. We had to stick with our own rules, or else we were penalized. A lot the same way goes for a strong follower of Jesus. We have to submit to God's way. We have to submit to the way that Jesus has laid out for us. We can't take shortcuts. We can't do our own thing, even when it's hard. I mean, Paul is writing from prison again. Even when it's hard, we have to keep going. Even when it's confusing or it doesn't make sense, God's way doesn't make sense to me. Why do we have to do it that way? It's God's way. And if when you find yourself in those situations, because if we're honest with our hearts, it does happen. A lot of times I wonder, why do I have to do it that way, Lord? But that's the way he's laid it out. And we can look in Isaiah 55, verse 9, where he says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. His ways are so much higher. He's got so much more knowledge. He's got a reason and a purpose for his way. So we don't complain. We don't avoid his way. We don't take our own shortcuts and create our own way. No, we follow his way. We endure. We keep going. I've been reading Pilgrim's Progress, and Christian runs into so many difficult things, but he keeps going, keeps walking on the way, and isn't swayed. He submits to the challenges that come. And as strong believers and followers of Jesus, we are to submit to his way and follow and keep going. So like an athlete, the strong follower of Jesus is submissive. And then the last picture we get is of a farmer. A strong follower of Jesus is like a farmer. We look in verse 6 is where he gives us this. He says, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And I love this illustration. I really do. I love this illustration. First and foremost, I think the farmer is reliant. The farmer is reliant because the farmer doesn't control the rain. The farmer doesn't control the sun. The farmer can't make the seed come up out of the ground. He has to rely on something outside of himself to do this. He has to rely ultimately on God to bring the rain and God to bring the sun. The farmer is reliant. He knows he cannot control these things. He has to rely and let something else take care of the work. So he's reliant. But not only is he reliant, and not only is he just a farmer, he's a hard-working farmer. He's a hard-working farmer. So here's what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean this farmer sows some seeds, lets them land in some fertile soil, and then go inside and open up a bag of potato chips and binge watch his favorite show on Netflix. Right? That's not what this hardworking farmer does. No, the hardworking farmer sows seeds, sees some land in fertile soil, and he works it. He cultivates the ground. He goes and he tills. He plows. He puts himself to work. He gets his hands dirty. He doesn't just sit there and think, all right, God, do your thing. No, he is working. He's on his hands and knees getting things ready. And as a believer, I think the farmer is the perfect example. Because as a believer, we have to rely, back to verse 1, we have to rely on the strength that is in Christ Jesus, the grace that's there. We have to rely on that for strength. But when we rely on that, that doesn't mean I neglect to spend time with him. I rely on God to give me strength and understanding, but my Bible doesn't sit there as a dust collector. I don't rely on Jesus and his strength to challenge my heart and then neglect to spend time with him in prayer or in fellowship. I have to let him do what he wants in my heart, and he works through the scriptures, works through prayer. We rely on God to give us all of our growth and all of our strength, but we give him the tools to work in our hearts. And if I'm honest with you, I don't want to shortchange any of you guys here. Being a strong follower of Jesus is hard work. It is hard. It's hard to stay focused on him when you've got all these life things going on around you. It's hard to submit to his way when it doesn't make sense, even though he tells us, look, I've got a plan. It's hard because we don't like to trust as humans, sinful humans. But there is a reward at the end. I mean, we can look at these three pictures and see that there's a reward for the soldier. At the end of the war, there's a victory, right? For the athlete, there's a crown. And for the farmer, there's a harvest. So believers, yes, it's hard work, and we got to stay disciplined. But there is a reward at the end for running this race well, and that reward is namely eternity with our strength and power, Jesus. Okay? And then we look to change. Paul kind of wraps his thinking up. In verse 7, he says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And again, I think we get another great example for us as he tells Timothy, look, put your mind to work. Put your mind to work. Think on these things. Put your mind to work and let your mind sit on what I'm telling you, which we know and understand as the scriptures. Think, but who ultimately gives the understanding? I'm not earning the understanding. God is giving you understanding. I'm not earning it. I'm not making it happen by thinking. But the Lord is working as we think. I think there's a great way to illustrate this. And if we think about a bike really fast. If we can all think about a bike really fast. If I set up a bike right here and I pull the front tire, it's not going to go very far. And if I push maybe the back tire, it doesn't go very far. But when I start using the pedal that's connected with the chain, it starts moving and moving. If we think about our Christian life, we're a lot like a bike. The chain and the pedals is nothing but God's grace. It's God's grace, it's God's grace. But if I were to hold that tire really tight in the front and not let it go anywhere, and we start moving that chain, bike's not moving anywhere. If I jam the back tire somehow, the bike's not going to go. So what's propelling this bike forward is the chain, but it's got to rely on the tires, right? So as a believer, I'm relying on the strength that is in Jesus, but I'm also not jamming the tires by neglecting to spend time with him. As believers, we are to be strengthened by Jesus, and we have to let him do his work, but we can't quench him and close our Bibles and let it be a dust collector. So I guess I'll just wrap it up by saying, believers, I'm going to speak to the believers in here. Be strengthened by Jesus. Look to Jesus daily. Look to his grace and mercy and be confident and continue running and pursuing him, staying focused on him, submitting to his way, relying on him, but steadfastly working. And maybe you're in here and you don't know Jesus, you don't know much about him, you haven't made a commitment. I would challenge you to talk to somebody about him, because he is our strength, and in him we find power. He's where it all flows. It's out of Jesus. So please run to him. All right, so if you'll just close with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your grace. Lord, specifically the grace that we find in Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you strengthen us in it, strengthen us by it, and Lord, let us just continue to run the race well. Lord, it's in your Son's precious name I pray. Amen.